verse 11. Have a rather simple message tonight. I trust it'll bless your heart. It should be easy to listen to. Don't everybody flee now. This is the third time I have used this text in this pulpit speaking about this subject, and I would appreciate if in the office they could cross-reference those tapes. I've entitled the message this evening, The Maturing of Eagle Saints. You got any Eagle Saints out here tonight? I hope none of you are chicken hawks. Or chickens. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 11. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them under her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, speaking of Israel, and there was no strange God with him. Now he's speaking about his people, Israel. And we are the Israel of God, the spiritual prevailers. He is a Jew which is one inwardly, the scripture says. Now here we see a picture of our Lord making mature saints from babes. The first step in making a mature eagle is to stir up the nest. The eagles take branches up to the high, craggy heights, and there with a big, strong beak claws, they break them and stick them all around into a great, big, sharp, spiny nest, full of all kinds of points with breaks and jagged sticks. And they had a great big husky nest that they put up there on a great rock overlooking a great valley. And then they go out and they find wool from lambs and sheep that have wandered the valley floors and grazed there, and the wool that have come off and that fallen to the ground or been caught in stickle bushes. And they take the fur of animals, rodents that they have killed and have eaten the flesh, and they take the rodents' skins and they drop them in the nest, and they take the wings and they push them around, and they take the wool and put them around. They find rags from from clothes that have been torn on the clothesline or off the clothesline. Any place they can find some rags, and they stick those up there. And time they get through, they have patted those sharp sticks until it's quite soft. And when she hatches her eggs and they go out as those little eaglets, they have a nice soft nest inside of that thorny one. But when and she goes out and she feeds them day by day, they don't contribute anything. They just got wide open mouths and they squall like crazy if they don't get food. Finally, they become very fat and large. Maybe have wings, but they're untried. And when the mother eagle decides it's time for the eaglets to fly, she takes all the skins and all the wool and all the rags out of the nest. She picks them out and she throws them overboard until that nest is just sharp and stickery. And the eaglets find that their environment begins to prick them. They begin to become dissatisfied where they are. They begin to become willing to relocate. And in fact, the more stubborn they are and the more they eat and the fatter and heavier they get, the more willing they've been. I mean, finally they begin to get more uncomfortable. Now, many of us are finding that the soft things in our nest is being taken away so that we won't feel too complacent and too comfortable anymore. Now, when Israel went down into Egypt in a time of famine to get food, God loved them, and Israel was just young as a young eaglet, and so he built a very comfortable nest, though. Now, Egypt was very thorny. But he lined it with much softness in the administration of Joseph. And though they were comfortable in that sharp Egyptian nest, because it was lined with the administration of Joseph, and they had plenty, and they blessed the name of the Lord, and they were content for a while in their young eaglet life. And he's talking about Israel as an eaglet. But there came time when God wanted to bring Israel out of Egypt. But God knew that they would not leave that comfortable nest unless he stood it up. So he did. So he picked up Joseph out of the nest and threw him out of the nest. And all those things of that administration. And he stood the nest up good and proper. And the Egyptian sticks begin to prod Israel down there in Egypt. They begin to get very sharp for them, very thorny. And the more they multiplied in the nest and squeezed one another, the worse it got. And they begin to cry out as eaglets. And when they cried enough to be delivered from that stickery nest, God flipped them out of the nest. He says, now you fly across that wilderness to the Canaan's land. Some of us are finding that our complacencies are being disturbed. We had everything going our way. We just came and sat down in our soft pews in a stickery world. And we open our mouth wide, and the pastor would fly by and drop a sermon in it. Music minister would fly by, and they'd drop a few tunes in it. Somebody would come fly by, and they'd drop a testimony in it. We'd clomp it up, and we were getting fatter and fatter. Our wings weren't doing anything. We weren't contributing anything to the eagle world. We were just on the get. You know what I mean? Well, we find that our friends backslide and forsake us. And we begin to be stickered. Or sometimes our friends are put out of the church for the stubborn, rebellious way that they have fallen into. And the sweetness, no honey has turned to vinegar, and we're called upon to make them as a heathen and a publican, as the scripture says in the book of Matthew, and we don't like to do that, but the church says you must, and so we are being pricked on this side of the nest from the church government and this side from our friends. Our spouse backslides. Our spouse becomes unfaithful. We lose our job. We lose our house, and maybe in a fire, or don't have the money to keep up the payments. We lose our car, maybe got in a wreck, or it maybe blew the head, and it's about had it. We're corrected by God through the church government, and that is another big one that sticks in the thigh side. Maybe you're thrust out of your non-charismatic church because you're speaking in tongues and all of your friends are there. You've been comfortable there for many years. Or comfortable traditions and doctrines are being stripped away by the word of truth. And you're having to face up with knowing God and knowing his word and walking in it. Before, you never had to face up to that. You just went to church and you didn't have to face up with hewing the line, walking right. But in every case, no matter what the name tag on that sharp branch that's poking us is, we are being forced to call upon God. And we are being forced to leave something of the old Adam every time the softness of the nest gets taken away from us. And in order to move on with God, we find that we've got to leave our old nest, our comforts, our securities, our lethargies and all. And we've got to go on with God. All the apostles had their nests stood up. All the reformers had their nests stood up. They became willing to stand for truth. They became willing to suffer for the truth. They became willing to suffer for Jesus, to reach out to the lost, to build up the kingdom. The church at Jerusalem had her nest stood up. She probably wouldn't have reached out over about 30 miles or so, maybe 50, if her nest wasn't stood up. But when he flipped things out of the nest, I mean, she got stood up, she went all over Asia. Jonah had his nest stood up. He became willing to obey God, finally, to preach what God said to preach, to be a witness to the lost. There were many being goaded to leave Egypt and to fly for Canaan's land. To mature, to fly for themselves, to mount up on wings of faith. God stood up Abraham's nest, and he started for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now when the eaglets become uncomfortable enough to cry out, after she's moved all the soft things from the nest, and they're too scared to get out of the nest, and so they just squall, and the whole nest is full of squalling eagles. Well, she flies away and let them squall for a while. And then she comes back and they're really whooping it up. So then the scripture says what she does. First it says she stirs up her nest. Then it says she fluttereth over her young. She comes right over the nest and she begins to flutter with her great wings, poised like a helicopter, though, and just beating the air, making that terrific noise. What it does is it takes their attention from their discomfort and themselves to that phenomenon that's going on up overhead. And they look up. And every one of them are looking up because she's doing something she's never done before, and she's making she looms very large overhead. Hadn't realized pretty how big she really was, you know. An eagle, when it's got its wings all folded, doesn't look quite so big, but it has the ability to look, those wings, they go way out. Tremendous wings. And when she can begin to flutter them like that and bring the air down upon them until they're down as just in a like a blades of grass under a helicopter rotor, and she's making this noise, they begin to see how big Mother Eagle really is and that she is doing something to draw attention to her. When we become fearful, sick, discouraged, maligned, and we weep, we murmur, we groan within. We can find no place for comfort. Every place in the nest we move is sharp. God begins to draw attention to himself. Says to look up. The environment getting too stickery? Look up. All the softness has been taken away? Look up. And then the scripture says he spreadeth his wings. Spreadeth abroad her wings. Now, what she does is she stands on the edge of the nest and she lays her wing down right into the nest like a gangplank. And an eaglet will climb up that wing, fasten her talons tight into the wing. She'll take one at a time. God just takes us one at a time. He doesn't take the whole assembly at once. It's an individual thing. And with that little eaglet, I got out of that stickery nest onto her soft wings, because it was laid down, they could see the mother eagle saying, come on aboard. She launches off, and she begins to fly. And I suppose the first time little eaglet looks off the wing, goes, ooh. It's a long way, that first step's a big one. And she begins to fly. But it's so safe because she does one thing she does know how to do, and that's hold, the little eaglet, and that's hold on. She holds on. And the eagle takes her up to 3,000 to 4,000 feet, circling in the great wings. And as God takes us up from that place, it just seems so wonderful. And we say, oh, this is so wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. Now he's carrying me aloft by his power off of this tremendous trial that I was going through. But then Mother Eagle gives a lurch and flips him off. And he begins to tumble head over appetite. Down, 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 down. He's mainly appetite, you know. Down, down, down. And probably and generally, you know, about halfway to the ground, he hasn't got his equilibrium yet. And she folds her wing and down she comes. And only as a giant eagle can, coming right underneath that little thing, she speeds with great power in her wings and comes down like a streak, right up, when it looks like he's going to crash in the rocks and there's no hope, right up underneath him, lays her big wings out, and provides a very convenient heliopad for him to land on. And she grabs on and sinks those talons deep in Mother's wings. And aloft again, she takes them. And she'll do this over and over for a time, saying, "You're going to learn to fly, young fella. You're going to learn to fly on your own." And that's what God will do to us. Time after time, he takes us aloft. But finally, if that little one will not spread his wings, will not stretch it out, will not begin to trust in the plan of God for an eagle, will not begin to exercise faith in the wings that it has, will not exercise faith in its mother for what the mother is trying to teach it, if that little thing is a scared brat that's faithless and will not open its wings, it'll just tumble and fall. After enough times, the mother will take it to a great height, and she'll drop it, and she'll fly away and forget it forever. And that little thing will tumble, and that's its last ride. It's going to fly or die. It's going to crash in the rocks beneath, and that'll be the end of it. Or it's going to finally wake up and beat its wings ferociously before it hits the ground and take off and find out there's latent power there that it didn't even know it had. One by one, mother takes the little ones. Some of you are being goaded out of your nests. God is taking to the heights and he's dropping you. One by one, you're going to fly, or you're going to fly, or you're going to fly, but eventually you're going to die if you don't start flying. Now, when the eaglet has mastered flying, for most of them, we'll begin getting the picture eventually. And in scared to death, it'll begin flapping those wings. And it'll come out of it. And come up and begin to make it. And when it has mastered flying, it will surmount the storms and the elements that will rage against it in all creation. It'll beat its way up the channel of wind that God sends its way. The wind becomes its invisible staircase to safety. The wind spiritually represents the breath of God. It's the same in Hebrew and I think and also in Greek for wind or breath. It represents the breath of God, that which comes out of the mouth of God, the truths of God, the very life of God. And he breathes into us the breath of life in his spirit. And that becomes the invisible power that we move our wings of faith on. We climb the heights on that staircase of the life and the truth in Jesus. The eagle that's maturing learns not to trust just in that which the eye can see. You see, at first, the eaglet, the nest is very tangible. Its claws are tangible. The rocks below look very material. And the space in between doesn't seem to be anything. It just seems so nebulous, so scary to trust that you can't lay your claw on and feel the resist your claw. It just seems like to have faith in a principle and a plan for your life. It just seems so difficult. You want to hold on to something that you can see. But that they can see begins to get thorny, and they begin to see they're going to have to get out and trust the elements and trust the invisible out there. They got to trust the wind, the currents of the wind, and trust the design that God put in them to fly. God lets us go to dizzy heights sometimes, maybe at midnight, during scary times, and fly we must. When the eaglet is young, it's vulnerable. It can be eaten by owls. It can be eaten by the hawks and other carrion birds of the air. But it's destined to be protected by its mother, and it's destined to someday be king of the air. And someday it'll fly in that air and no bird will touch it. Owls will turn 90 degrees, 360 degrees in flight and go the other way. Their weight becomes tremendous and the wingspread is very large. And they become king of the air. And God's eagles, when young and as babes, can be devoured by the night owls and by the hoot owls and by the hawks and all of those other birds with great beaks and talons. But if it will grow and continue to exercise itself on the wings of the wind, it will grow to be king of the air, and it'll be strong, and no one will be able to touch it. Christ's nest was stood up. God took him to a fearful height and dropped him. But he climbed the winds to heaven. And he's above all King of Kings. And he has begotten his nature into us at our second birth. That's our ego birth, you know. And we are to emanate him who has flown before us, who is our parent but over us. And we are to follow that new eagle nature that he's put within us, even his own nature, as an eagle to fly into the heavens and be free. God wants to mature his eagle saints. The scripture has used eagles as a type of, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall mount up as on wings of an eagle. We see in the four living creatures that one of them, the attributes, one of them has the face of an ox, a strong, patient worker in the harvest field that has such strength and steadfastness in the harvest field. One of them has the face of a lion, the king of the jungle, one who is like Jesus was the lion of the tribe of Judah, one who is very strong and powerful and master of the animals. And one has the face of a man, the human, showing the humanness, and the other one the face of an eagle. And they had wings, and they were about the throne of God, and the Son of Man was sitting upon it. And I have proved in my sessions in the book of Ezekiel that these cherubim do not represent angels. They are not angels. They are not angelic beings at all. Very positive and very clearly, if you've read cherubim and seraphim, you've studied all the way through and all the typology, if you can put it all together, very positively is talking about the overcoming saints. And here we see each one had four faces, and each one was at the corner of a panoply that upon which rested the throne in which the Son of God sat. And the wings kissed one another, as the Hebrews said. They touched one another, and there were two wings. They covered their sides, and they were full of eyes before and behind. And they had wheels in the middle of the wheel. And they went wherever the Spirit brought them, a great wind that came out of the north. And there was a fire unfolding inside. And I taught all these things in the book of Ezekiel. But then you come clear on down to the book of Revelation. And there in chapter 5, you see the Son of Man on the throne. And you see that in the midst of the throne and round about the throne, four living creatures. And the same faces are seen, but now instead of seeing four faces on each one, you just see each one identified. One is this, one is this, one is this. They're all human, but they're likened to the lion or an ox or an eagle and so forth, human face. You find in the midst of the throne and round about the throne, and an extra wing, a pair of wings have been added. They now have six wings. And the eagle is said to be like a flying eagle. Because now they have one more set of wings to rapture themselves up to the throne of God. And Isaiah sees these as seraphim up there. And with that last pair of wings, when they get themselves up there, what do they do with it? They put it over the face, because in the presence of the Almighty One. These are these eagle Christians, like a flying eagle they'll see in the throne of God. And God wants us to, God allows the old nest to be stirred up. So let's don't just squawk, but let's look up and see God overhead. And let's get on his wings and let him take us aloft, and let's go to flying school. Let's learn how to fly in the Spirit, move in God, and soar into the heights. Praise the name of the Lord.